Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay. Aaron, on today's episode, Daniel G joins us to discuss one defenseman, Luca Cagnoni. We talk about Cagnoni's where he kind of fits in this draft, his strengths, his weaknesses, and Daniel helps us try to sort through all these blue liners and where they fit in the draft. So, and which ones he likes the most at the end of the first, beginning of the second. So, all that and more on today's episode of Locked On Sharks.
Your Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at San Jose Hockey Now, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Sharks your first listen. We're proudly a part of the Locked On Network. We cover your team every day. You can find us wherever you get podcasts, and of course, you can watch on YouTube as well. Daniel joins to discuss Luca Cagnoni, and we talk about kind of his strengths, his weaknesses, and kind of what he is. And kind of the big question with him is, what type of player is he going to be when he gets to the NHL? So, and then Daniel helps us with all these defensemen in the back end of the first round, beginning the second round, which ones he likes the most. So, but before we get into our conversation with Daniel, do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you guys by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. And now we bring in elite prospects, Daniel G, to talk about Luca Cagnoni. First of all, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Hanging in there. We are getting closer and closer to the draft. You know, I know you were saying that you've almost getting close to finishing off the guide, and then all the articles that come out after. So yeah. I know. And then it's going to be recapping all that work that you did. You have to recap all that work. So yeah. That's, and then how is this guy going to change everybody's franchise type of situation? But one guy potentially could change somebody's franchise. We're going to be talking about Luca Cagnoni, defenseman from Portland, Winterhawks in the WHL. 5'10", 172 pounds, had a very nice season for a very good Portland team with 67 games, had 17 goals, 47 assists, 243 shots on goal as a defenseman. And I will start as I always do. What makes him such an intriguing prospect?
I think what makes him intriguing is the tools right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I saw him a lot in his D-1 year last season. And, you know, he looked timid. He didn't have the confidence he had this year. You know, he had a considerable amount of growth just in terms of his game. Mm-hmm. And credit to Mike Johnson, the coach, former Penguins coach too, for playing him as much as he did and turning him into such an impact player. But yeah, like what makes him really special is the tools, right? Like when I look at defenders, like I kind of split it up into like four different categories. I look at how they defend the transition, because the rush is just so important in the NHL right now and in the future. How they defend sustained pressure, so, and then how they transport the puck, and then what do they do with the puck in the offensive zone. And the first thing that comes to mind right away with Cagnoni is, you know, his skating blend is just kind of like it's not the top of the draft, but it's near the top of the draft. He's fluid. He has four-way mobility. He focuses on gapping up proactively. He stays in front of the attacker, which is huge. Like even when he's enveloped and the attacker is trying to deke through his triangle, the space in front of him between the stick and the ice, like he still takes the body and, is able to, you know, basically nullify the chance. He guides the outside despite being, you know, a little smaller on the smaller end, focuses on directing to the perimeter. I think his brain really stands out in sustained pressure, because when I saw him, especially in the playoffs last season and just some regular season games, his decision-making was kind of all over the place. Like typical stuff you see out of like a 16-year-old playing against older players. Now he's just like, his positioning is just incredible. Like he relies heavily on lane clogging to basically create stops. He takes out secondary options, because his positioning is so sound. He's always available to disrupt like downhill shots when the defenders or forwards activate downhill. Again, the secondary threats are locked down. He's constantly scanning the weak side for, defenders dropping. He's mental mapping where opponents are. He anticipates passes and gets in the lane. I would say that like the biggest weakness is he's just really physically limited, right? Because at 5'10", 170, even at the WHL level, you're not going to really be doing much physically. And when you look at like the things that defenders have to do, like seal off the walls and stuff, like he has to, there's a development of a more nuanced game that has to happen. He already has it in a sense, but it just completely changes when you go to pro or higher levels. And you're facing just like every player strong, every player has power. So, you know, there's little chance he can be super aggressive when defending them. And that's kind of the scary part. But I think like when you're drafting Cagnoni, like you're really looking for like, what can he move the puck for you? And that's obviously, yes. So what we look for at Elite Prospects is like how much a player is manipulating when they're going back and picking up a puck, like for a puck retrieval. And while he's not a manipulator at all, he kind of just leverages this like crazy mobility just to skate forechecking pressure. And once he gets rolling, like he beats F1 super easily with just with handles and edge blending. And it just blows up the ice really. Like he layers deception. He'll punch, he'll scan, then he'll punch turn, then he'll reverse the other way, tricking opponents. Really, really standout straight line speed. And he has a small and large area handling game, like in large spaces, small spaces. It's kind of hilarious at the WHL level, like players will fly at him with poke checks and he just sidesteps them, makes them look silly. The other thing that he does is he's really inside focused. So he attacks the middle of the ice. He lets his wingers kind of attack down the flanks, and he's really good at just distributing off of, you know, his backhand, his forehand. Like I watched him today a couple of times and he was just like popping backhand saucer passes over a layer to a guy that's driving on the outside wing. And then he doesn't stop. He'll either try to get behind the defense so he can, you know, have a break, or he drives the defenders back so much that there's all the space opened up, right? Like in one play I saw, he dropped it to a trailer and he had basically the whole offensive zone to walk in and shoot. There's delay elements, which is super important for the NHL game. So instead of just running the puck into the side boards or running the puck in the corner and getting enveloped, he'll stop up, scan an option, pass off, that type of thing. And obviously his breakouts are really, really good. He's always in motion, so he never gets picked off. He connects across two lines, bank it off the boards, et cetera. The big thing that a lot of the scouts at Elite Prospects like about Cagnoni is his activation in the offensive zone. So what he'll do is he's always dropping down on the weak side, just waiting back door for a pass or a rebound or something like that. And it creates a lot of offensive opportunities for him. A lot of his goals that I seen, he scored that way, especially up here in PG. Like he's an activator on puck. So if he sees a little bit of room, he'll attack right down the wing and fire a shot off. And he constantly moves pucks off the boards into the middle of the ice, which is what you want from an offensive defender. You don't want him taking perimeter shots where there's a low percentage of anything happening. I wouldn't say, like, you know, it's interesting, he's had all the shots there. I wouldn't say he's like a really good shooting threat. He lacks power, right? His arms are really compressed against his body. Mainly what you see is like, just low typical shots on net looking for redirects. His trouble reining precision in and that type of thing.
All right, guys, before we continue with Daniel, we kind of talk about why Luca Cagnoni is kind of in this back end of the first round, being the second round, and kind of what type of player he's going to be and why that's kind of the big question mark for him is, you know, just trying to figure out what he's going to be when he becomes an NHL player. Do want to take a quick break, talk to you guys about our friends over at Game Time. If you're going out, want to enjoy some events this summer, especially, you know, the Giants, maybe you're going to some concerts, maybe you want to go catch a comedy show or the theater. Now is the time to do so. And Game Time makes it super easy and super just convenient for you. They have killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee. So you can stop stressing over tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. They have amazing flash deals on last minute tickets. So if you're not a big planner and you're just like, hey, I want to go to a Giants game this afternoon, go see Casey Schmidt, just crush home runs. Game Time comes in. They have easy to find and buy tickets for every kind of event in your area and the lowest price guaranteed. They also have event cancellation protection or job loss protection. So in case something comes up. Also, my favorite thing is the pictures. You actually see your seats from the phone because there's nothing worse than buying tickets and then you get there and you realize you have terrible seats. You don't have to worry about that with Game Time. You can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, but two taps and you're set. They're sent directly to your phone. You don't have to dig through emails, which I appreciate a lot. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Again, terms apply. Create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right. So you mentioned a lot of stuff with him. And you talked about his skating, which seems like kind of skating and his brains are kind of sound like they're his two best qualities, right? With him. So are those his most translatable skills, you would say, as he continues to kind of progress and then, you know, becomes a professional, you know, AHL, NHL, all that fun stuff. Is that what's going to kind of push him forward, is just his high-end skating and how well he thinks it, the game?
Yeah, like I would say that it's really a blend of how everything comes together, right? Like, he's weight shifting through his crossovers. He's able to handle past the threat. I would say that, like, I don't think he's like an exceptionally high level thinker. Like he creates advantages like crazy, but I wouldn't say it's to the level of like when you're looking at like the handful of defenders that make a huge impact in the NHL through activation. Like you're looking at Carlson and Hughes and Makar. Like it's not that level. And I think like when you and that's like the biggest issue with Cagnoni's profile in general is like what is he going to be in the NHL? Like if he's on a team with one of those guys, like, is he going to get any power play minutes? Like those guys are going to monopolize all the time. Like his projection is probably closer to a second pairing guy. So you're going to have this like kind of transition offensive defender in a second pairing role. Is a coach going to allow him to flex his tools and activate when they already have that happening at such a high level on another pairing? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right. And then his size, right? Like he removed the offensive tools, so he's not getting those open space power play minutes and everything. And what do you have? You have a defender who won't be able to physically engage, so he'll have to defend kind of like how Quinn Hughes defends, which is just like a lot of stick work and trying to leverage lower center gravity and evasion and that type of thing. And you have to be you know, pretty proficient. Even players like him have a lot of issues learning to, you know, fend off the bigger NHLers.
So that was going to be my next question is, other than his size, right, is kind of what, I mean, we know he's 5'10". That's just what he's going to be. Other than that, his weakness, major weaknesses, you mentioned a shot isn't anything special, but it's just going to be kind of that adaptability of, again, what are you when you come into the NHL?
Yeah, but I do think it's good that we saw such a massive level of growth from him from D-1 to draft year, because it shows just like he understands how to improve himself. I think if you're looking for an NHL comp, which, you know, comps are always, you know, tough.
They're tough, yeah.
If you're looking for an NHL comp, like you think like Samuel Girard on Colorado, like very similar players, not only in stature, but how they play the game. And like, you know, like Sam Girard, like you can kind of like, when you watch the Avalanche, you kind of go like, Like this guy, he's not getting the opportunities that like a Cale Makar is getting. And I think that's kind of like,
because they have Cale Makar, right? Yeah.
Cause he's just better. Right. Yeah. And that's kind of the thing, right? Like maybe if Cade Gnone's on like a weaker team that doesn't have that offensive punch, maybe he gets those minutes. But that's the biggest concern with him. I do think there's a ton of positives though, right? The tools, the brain kind of mixing together to create this like transition guy that's already starting to develop habits to defend better with his size and be more adaptable to the NHL level. I won't spoil our rankings, but he is the highest ranked WHLer defender for our final board. Like the scouts, like our WHL guy and the crossover, they just really like his brain. There was concerns like translatability, projectability, like what is he and the risk behind that. But when we kind of came to the conclusion that the tools and the skill blending is just too good to rank him lower than where we're putting him. And I won't spoil the spot, but it's basically at the top of the second round around there where we're going to rank him.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, cause we'll talk about a lot of these defenders here in a minute. So, you know, you talk about kind of what he's going to be, and it sounds like in a perfect situation, he's going to be like that second period defenseman who's going to, you know, be your offense, your kind of puck mover, second period defenseman, which you need in today's NHL, right? You can't just have a bunch of guys out there who are defensive defensemen. Like you need these guys who start the rush, and that if everything kind of works out, is that kind of, you know, his development stuff, is that kind of where you eventually see him being once he kind of fully matures and becomes an impact NHL player?
Yeah, I think that'd be a fair ceiling for him is, you know, like a higher end second pairing guy that he's the offensive punch of the pairing. Mm-hmm. I think it'll limit what he can produce at the end of the day, but a guy that can maybe jump up if there's an injury, that type of thing, I think that's pretty valuable. He's a lot going for him just in terms of like the skating. Like we don't know where the NHL, like, well, I guess we do, but we don't, you try when you're scouting, you're trying to predict trends, right? Yep. Like what's trending. And when you look at that, like it always goes up and down. It changes with whatever team that wins. Typically, like when the Bruins won the Stanley Cup, all the teams tried to get beefed up because that's the way that they were. Right. And then what happened? Fast teams started winning because people that go against the trend and try to combat it usually are successful. So what do we see right now? Well, the final teams are all have big, big, tough defenders, right, that are mobile. So Cagnoni is kind of the antithesis of that right now. But, you know, if you're a smart team and you're looking at trends, you want to make a speedier team that, you know, can transition the puck really well, then maybe you draft Cagnoni and you build out your defense like that. But yeah, I think Sam Girard is a good like baseline if, you know, the audience at home is trying to figure out like what this guy kind of is. I just think they're super, super similar in that way.
All right. And we know the Sharks have done a lot to kind of add to their blue line, you know, prospects recently. How would you kind of compare him? I know it might be a little bit tough on the spot here, but to a guy like Mooka Madulin, who we know is kind of another toolsy guy, much, much bigger. You know, we saw bits of it when he played with the Barracuda last season. We kind of saw him starting to put it together, but we know Mooka Madulin still has a little bit to go, I think, especially in his own end, kind of working on that. Where would you kind of put him in, you know, among like a guy like Mooka Madulin is probably the best defensive prospect the Sharks have? Would you kind of slot him around there, probably a little bit lower, a couple tiers lower?
I think he's a tier higher than him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we aren't like, I'm not the biggest, you know, fan of Shakir, like just because like from what I've seen, I know he's cleaned it up and he showed really, really well at the Barracuda. So I don't want to speak too much because my takes are a little outdated, but Cagnoni would probably rank him like a tier higher than that. Like you're looking at a guy who's like a legit A prospect, where Shakir, like, you know, there's some hurdles that has to, there's hurdles for both. They're just really different players, I guess, at the end of the day. I think they'd actually complement each other pretty well.
Makes sense. Yeah. So why do you think, like, if you talk about him as being, is it just because he's 5'10" and that's basically the one reason why he's looked at as the end of the first round, beginning of the second round prospect for Cagnoni?
It's that, and the thing that we mentioned earlier about, like
what is he?
Yeah, like, what is he? Because, like, he's not a number one, right? So
yeah,
you really have like it's a philosophy that's kind of changed with our rankings. Is we were really high on smaller defenders that were really, like, deceptive and moved really well. Guys like Soderstrom, Boqvist, like a lot of smaller European defenders. Mm-hmm. But we found that they just kept getting destroyed by the NHL forecheck. Like, they just could not retrieve a puck. They could not escape properly. They could not handle the pressure that was being mounted on them, right? And then when you sit back and you look at, like, what are the defenders that have free reins to do things? So you're looking at Carlson, Hughes, Makar, Fox, Heiskanen, yeah, and maybe a couple others, right? It's the and the rest
the
of defenders,
of the crop.
Yeah, like the rest of the defenders have to play within a system, right?
Yep.
Like, and NHL coaches are kind of stingy like that. Maybe it'll change with, you know, a newer crop of coaches coming in, but you never.
You and I both know that's a lot.
It's probably not, right? So.
New coaches coming in. Come on, they just hired the same six guys.
Yeah, The hope it changes, right? So yes, like new ideas and everything. But that's typically that's kind of the reason. Like, we actually flip between Cagnoni and Caden Price quite a bit this year, just because Caden Price is, like, I think he's like a 6'2" defender, a bit below average skating, but really good habits defending the rush and has a transition game, flash some more higher end skill. And a lot of the time we were just thinking, like, this guy's a more projectable defender to play games. Whereas there's inherent risk with Cagnoni that he ends up being, you know, a quad A defender, Eric Pouliot style, right? Like, I'm not saying they're similar at all, but, like, you know, the guys that were super high end defenders in junior couldn't really hack it in the NHL, but are super high end in the AHL. Like, that's a real possibility for Cagnoni. And I think placing him top of the second round kind of hedges that risk a bit, especially with the deep first round.
All right, guys, before we finish up with Daniel, we kind of look at where all these defensemen kind of sit in the draft. Do want to thank you guys for making Locked On Sharks your first listen. Again, proudly a part of the Locked On Network. We cover your team every day. If you want to be an everydayer, just come on back tomorrow. We're going to be looking at some potential trades, so contracts I would trade for if I was the Sharks. Guys who are maybe either teams are either trying to offload, so you might be able to kind of get a really nice, tasty return, or guys who maybe just don't fit in with the future of their franchise. So just some guys I would take a swing at and try to trade for. So make sure you guys are following along wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can watch on YouTube as well. All right. So wanted to kind of get your thoughts on some, especially this weird defense class, right? There's no kind of standout guy. And it just feels like there's a big clump of these defenders, you know, kind of in that back of the first round, second round guys. So which other guys are you kind of, like, if you're sitting at the table, which kind of some of these other guys are you kind of banging the table for that you're like, I think this guy is a guy that, you know, is being slept on a little bit?
Well, we mentioned Price. Price is definitely one that, you know, like, he's a really high floor. Like, this he's gonna play, I think. The other couple guys is, like, you know, Dragicevic. Obviously put up gaudy point totals with
I do love Dragicevic. Yes.
Yeah, like, I saw him, so I'll tell you the story. Like, I saw him first two games of the season. He was burnt wide by Riley Height probably three or four times. He got scored on twice. Like, it was awful performance. Really down on him. Watched him throughout the season, just couldn't get him, right? And he really required, like, it, like you have to, like, there's, like, some nuance to his game, right? And then I saw him in the playoffs. You know, he's tanky, he's big in front of the net. the defensive skating is still really bad. Like, he's going to get beat wide a lot if he doesn't judge outside speed properly, or he's super aggressive in the neutral zone. But Tri-City lets him do whatever he wants with the puck, which is wild. And that's why you get what you get, right? He really commands the ice when he's out there. He used to, like, I think I heard somewhere, I forget where, but he was like, I think he was a forward up until like a couple of years ago. So it explains kind of like why the defensive skating really isn't there for this level. And so it's a big caveat, right? Like there's a lot of public facing scouts that don't think like this guy will end up making it. Like, like ranking him in the second round for us is probably going to look bad short term, but good long term, I feel.
Yeah.
Because he could drop 100 points next season with the way that Tri-City runs, right? And then you're sitting there like, why do you have this guy ranked in the second round? Like, this is ridiculous. But get to the NHL, face more outside speed, get manipulated more, better skill. Yeah. The other guy I like is Molendijk. He's probably the best defense. He's probably the best skater out of the defenders available. Like, just outer worldly speed. I would say that he's probably one of the top defenders of the rush in the entire draft as well, just because he's just so adaptable to any changes of speed or manipulation. He can recover so well. I watched him take out Benson on this one crazy like handle rush. Like, he was able to pivot three times before Benson was even able to get the shot off. I think the worrying thing about Molendijk is like, when he gets into the offensive zone, does he have a plan? It doesn't seem like he does a lot of the time. And it really, for us, and especially like Mitch Brown, our WHL and director of North American scouting, like he didn't love a lot of what Molendijk did with the puck on the line, like just odd decisions, missing pass options, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, each one of these guys has a lot of caveats. I think if you're going for upside, like maybe you go Cagnoni or Dragicevic. If you're going for more safe, you go Price or Molendijk, because Molendijk's going to play just because of the skating, right? Like,
yep.
And he's not super, super small either, right? So it's an interesting grouping. I thought all these guys would have been first round picks like earlier in the year, but as, you know, Europe gets more fleshed out, just kind of ended up in the second round for us. They're all in the top 40-ish, so they're all pretty close, I would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, like a very interesting year for the WHL for sure. Just a lot of talent coming out of the league.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to Ben Jordan just about like how a couple episodes ago, about how just the WHL is just like really seems to be kind of the talent, you know, it's kind of shifted. It feels like, especially when you compare it to the other CHL or the other leagues in the CHL, where it's just like, you know, I mean, I know Bedard's in his class, but it's just like, there's just always seems to be guys coming out of the WHL right now. And, you know,
yeah, it's going to continue too. It's like there's a lot of good players coming, like Jordan Gavin, who's on Tri-City with Dragicevic. The Ginla brothers, like there's just a lot coming, right? McKenna, like, so there's just a lot coming here. So it's going to be good.
All right. Let's get you out here. A couple more questions. Last time I asked you, when you came on to profile Zach Benson, other than Bedard, who do you think going to be the best player in this draft 5 years from now? You said Fantilli. Do you still feel Fantilli right now?
Yeah, I think it's still Fantilli, but you know, Carlson's pretty close. Like, you see what I watched him a bunch this year, but then you see him with like Lucas Raymond, like skilled NHLers, and he's just connecting plays so well with them. It's like, this guy's going to be a serious problem very quickly. And then, you know, Michkov's going to drop, but like the upside is like absolutely enormous. Like, so I think if you look at, like, it's kind of a cop-out answer, but Fantilli, like all those guys in the top portion, they're game changers for sure. I think like Benson has an outside chance, it's intriguing.
All right, 5 years from now, which guy are we looking at? It's kind of a back end of the first round, beginning second round, going, how did this guy end up here? Why didn't he get drafted much earlier? Who's that guy for you?
Back half of the first round. It's tough off the top of your head because this draft is going to be extremely volatile after like three or four. Like,
oh, believe me. Whoever's in at four is just, yeah.
It's an it seems like the Habs are always in an inflection point of the draft where their decision, like, you know, you're looking at like Kotkaniemi and then Shane Wright, Slavkovsky. They're always in an inflection point. So I don't know, like it's tough. Like I really like Cagnoni. Like I think he could surprise some people. I think just looking at my list, like I think Andrew Kristall is gonna drop quite a bit just because he's small.
Yeah,
he's small and he's really poor skater. But you look at his his sense, and when he's on, he's like one of the most dominant players in the WHL with his playmaking. Like, it is absurd. I think he's going to go late first, second round potentially, just because of all those factors. And that could look really good down the line if, you know, he cleans up his stride a bit and learns to be a little more adaptable in the rush, gets rid of the inefficiency in his game. I think another guy is William Whitelaw. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I haven't seen a lot of him, but the tools are really impressive. And I've seen, like, he's a sixth grade skater, sixth grade puck handler out of nine. His shot is 6.5, 7 grade. So, like, very, very, like, 5 would be considered NHL average.
Mm-hmm.
So I think any of those guys, but, like, you know, some of those guys can get picked pretty high too. Like, it's tough to know right now. Like, we're hearing some things here and there, but it's really mixed across the board with everyone. So, yeah.
All right, we'll get to it. Last question. Where does Cagnoni go? What pick?
I think he goes like with one of the first picks of the second round, like 34, 35 maybe.
That would be the Blue Jackets or the Blackhawks. So,
yeah, I think it hedges the risk of his physical profile while also valuing a lot of the tools he brings. I could see him slipping into the end of the first round too. Defenders always go higher than what they, than where they kind of should. And, you know, what teams do you have at the bottom half of the draft? You have teams that traded away their picks, or you have teams that were playoff, you know, contenders. It kind of, a lot of the time, maybe more nuanced ideas from the draft, right? Like, to take a skill guy and develop and have the development people to turn him into what you want at the end of the day. Because I think that's an underrated thing that people don't talk about, is the development component is just so huge. It's like, it's almost more like you can take the raw player, but if you don't develop them, they're going to end up like you're going to make your scouts look bad.
The scouts could be right. It's just, if you can't develop them, that's half. I mean, that's the most of the battle, right? Is not only just picking the right guy, but just making sure they hit the trajectory. So, Daniel, thank you very much. Where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. My handle's right there. We post a lot of draft stuff coming up. Did a lot of crossover work, so I watched everyone, but I watched a lot of like kind of the lower leverage leagues, like the BCHL and Minnesota and Massachusetts prep hockey. So kind of obscure players, but, you know, it's always interesting on draft day to know about these obscure guys. So we'll also have our draft guide coming out in June at some point, start of June. So look out for that. It only costs a EP sub. It's well worth it. It's going to be a massive guide. Scouts quotes. We're getting quotes on every player. We have analytics, game reports that we all wrote during the season, you know, condensed page, hands, our graphics guy, like, just kills it with how the pages look. It's pretty compelling offer in my opinion. So, check that out too, if you are able.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as the shark, like the dust clears, I'm digging through that guy trying to learn about as many of the players of the Sharks contracted as possible. So, Daniel, thank you very much. We'll chat with you soon, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. I want to thank Daniel, of course, for joining us. Always a treat when he comes on. Dude is super smart. I mean, he knows his scouting inside and out. Super busy right now, of course, with all the draft stuff coming out. So make sure you guys are following him along. I know he is a Canucks fan, but we won't hold it against him. He takes his time to come talk to me basically whenever I ask him. So he's super gracious with his time. But Cagnoni, again, it's just these so mixed of guys. I don't know if he's my favorite defenseman. I think it depends on what you want in your defenseman. I think there's some other guys I like a little bit more than Cagnoni, but just wanted to kind of another guy checked off in the book here. So I'm going to have, again, more trades this week. I'm going to have another draft profile. We're going to have our friend Josh Tesler coming on this week to kind of do some mid-round madness. We're going to just kind of a wide brush of guys he likes in kind of the third, fourth, fifth round that could be there for the Sharks, and just some guys to kind of keep an eye on. So that way we're not just all in round ones and two. We'll try to get some guys in the middle of the draft as well. So make sure, again, you guys are following along wherever you get podcasts. Of course, you can watch this on YouTube as well. And you can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Locked On Sharks. You can follow me on Twitter at MyFryHole. And until tomorrow, bye, friends.